Acknowledge the fact that this word is yours. That you wrote it and you wrote it for purposes. To instruct us, Lord, on how to live godly lives. Lord, how to live life to the fullest. And so, Lord, now this morning we humble ourselves before your word, your written word in black and white. Lord, we want to act out your word. We want to obey your word. We want to apply your word. And I ask, Lord, that truths would become evident to our hearts this morning and that we would obey them. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you know, I'm a computer engineer, computer programmer by trade. And because of that, I spend much time on the computer. In fact, I'm on the computer daily. If not at work as a programmer, I'm on the computer preparing Bible studies for Sunday mornings or whatnot. So I'm on it a lot. The computer software industry is always trying to make complex tasks easier for the user. And they have a relatively new feature on their computer products today called the Wizard. Now, the Wizard is a series of screens that you go through on the computer to help you accomplish a certain task. For instance, you can write a business letter or get a legal document or get a household inventory database all set up, all ready to go, just by answering a few questions as you go through screens, these screens called the Wizard. Well, I have often wished that there was a wizard for being a daddy. I'm a new dad, 4 month old. And there are times it's scary being a new dad. You're maybe a little confused at times, not really knowing what to expect. Actually, I do have a wizard. Her name is Kim, and she's my wife. Lindsay's throwing up, Kim! She's crying, Kim! And she comes to the rescue and shows me what to do. We have a friend of our family. He's a comedian. And he made an observation to me last week. He said, you know, with every major purchase in life, you get a manual. You get a warranty. You get money back guarantee. Think about it. When you buy a TV, warranty, manual, money guarantee, money guaranteed back. VCRs, whatever. But when you take that child home from the hospital, the nurses don't come with. And usually you might be a little bit timid and afraid. Well, as God's people, we are blessed because we do have a manual. God's word is a life manual given to us and applies to all of life situations. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so this book has a lot to say about how to parent children. And this morning we want to focus in on dads, on fathers, since it is Father's Day. Let's go ahead and read our text in Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read the whole chapter together in its entirety. It starts out in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. What wisdom we have in these verses before us. These are such nuggets of truth that just strike us in our hearts. God speaking wisdom through his servant Solomon. The book of Proverbs is divided into 8 sections. Most of the sections in the book of Proverbs are written by Solomon. And who of us remember who Solomon was? Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. One of the wisest men who ever lived. Remember, he was given that choice by God. You can have anything you want, Solomon. What do you want? You might have expected him to say, well, I want all the money in the world. I want all the gold. I want all this or that. But no, he said, I want to be wise. Give me wisdom, Lord. And so God gave him that wisdom, and from his wisdom came all these riches and honor. Other sections in the book of Proverbs are written by wise men in general. Some are named, some are not. This book is written by some of the wisest men who have ever lived. This is God's wisdom speaking through man as they wrote it down. The audience of this book we get from a phrase that shows up throughout the book of Proverbs, and we've read it at least 3 times here in this chapter. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my law. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That shows up all over Proverbs. Now, we can apply that. When he says, my son, many people believe that the book of Proverbs was originally written and read to children. That parents in the Old Testament times would take the book of Proverbs and say, my son, my daughter, let me read this wisdom to you. Others see in this word for son a student. And so that this book was taught in a school environment as a teacher would teach students. So what we have before us are teachings, wisdom given to younger people, to sons. to daughters, to students, from the wisest who have ever lived. And we should take note of that. The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to develop in others, especially the young, a wise, skillful approach to living, which begins with being properly related to the Lord. That's what this book is about. Written by wise men to sons, to students, to equip them to live life. Lessons from Dad are in this chapter, are in this book, to a son or daughter. And that's how I want to apply this chapter this morning. Let's look at chapter 3, dads, as what God has called us as fathers to teach our children. Lessons that we should teach. Children, this is applicable to you as well, for you are going to be obeying your father in these ways. Wives, you're to be supporting your husband as they teach this wisdom. Let's look at some worthwhile activities of a father. Some lessons that we see taught in this chapter. The first lesson we see is that a primary activity of dad is to instill wisdom within a child. To be used by God to instill wisdom within a child. Let's look at how this is shown in this text a little bit. It says in verse 1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." Verse 13, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding." Verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Solomon, as a father speaking to his son, is saying, keep this wisdom. Keep these laws that I'm teaching you, these commands, this discretion. Keep it in your heart. Dads, we are to instill that wisdom into the hearts of our child. It's very valuable. It's the most valuable thing you can do as a father. Many times we think that we need to give our kids the best material blessings that they can get. The best cars, the best TV. And we think, man, that's showing our love to them. Hey, let's give them something that we never had when we were growing up. Let's make life a little bit better for them. Well, you know what? Those are really valueless compared to wisdom. Look at verse 13. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." The most valuable thing that we can be about, parents, fathers, mothers, is instilling this wisdom within our children. If a child is wise, they will be able to live a rich life. They will be well-versed, capable of making a life, of taking care of themselves. We instill wisdom in them. Wisdom is not knowledge alone. I know a lot of knowledgeable people that are not very wise. Wisdom is the ability to not only have knowledge, but apply knowledge to daily living. Taking all this data from around us, facilitating it, and then being able to apply it appropriately. That's what wisdom is. Instilling it within children, the information needed to live life effectively. This includes truth about God, truth about morals, about the purpose of life, the general practical aspects of living. Dads, God wants to use you to instill wisdom within your children. You. That's a holy task. Primarily, parents are used by God to raise their children in that way. Now, Dad, how do we do that? How do we instill wisdom within our sons and our daughters? Well, you know, it says here in verse 1, again, do not forget my law, keep my commands. I believe there's a formal way of instilling wisdom within the child, and that would be to teach God's Word, the Bible, to them regularly, consistently. And I want to call this a formal instilling of God's Word into the hearts of our child. Doing it weekly. Having a weekly Bible study with your son and daughter. 1 hour, it's an appointment known by everybody in the family that this is when Dad and little Susie and little Johnny get together to study God's Word. For some, it may be nightly, a nightly Bible reading and prayer time right before bed. I think it's important, and let me share with you why. My father did that with me. When I was in 4th, 5th, 6th, even up into 7th grade, my dad took my brother and I, and every week on a Wednesday night for 1 hour, we had a Bible study with Dad. He took us through some heavy things. Romans 6, 7, and 8. Chapters that have been difficult for most theologians to understand over the ages. And he took his 4th and 5th and 6th grade sons through Romans 6, 7, and 8. He took us through the book of Proverbs. And you know what? Here's what happened, folks. I was a kid. And I got to admit to you, I didn't understand a lot. And I'll also admit to you that I many times wasn't excited about Wednesday night. Oh, man, the kids are outside playing, Pop. Why do I have to be here studying the Bible with you? But you know what? As I look back, one thing that stands out to me concerning that whole situation is that my dad loved me, and my dad loved this book. It was so obvious that it was important to him, that he would take time out of his busy schedule to get us together and teach us God's Word. It meant so much to me. Maybe I didn't understand a lot about it, but I always remember his example. I'll always remember his love for me in showing me that. I'll always remember his love for the Bible. It's within me. I grew up knowing that this book was important because it was important to my dad. Dads, there's another benefit for doing this, and let me share this with you. When we had our hour Bible studies on Wednesday night, we were going through the book of Proverbs, and my dad had a framework from which he could teach me the lessons and the issues of life. My dad taught me about sex from the book of Proverbs. It was a framework. It was already there. God had something to say about sex. Dad just told me what God had to say. The issue of drugs, of peer pressure, all that came up. And it was a framework from where Dad was able to teach us and instruct us. Dads, some of you are a little bit embarrassed about talking to your son or your daughter about sex. Or about issues that might be a little bit nervous. Don't want to walk that. Hide behind God's Word. Somebody is going to share with your son or daughter about sex. Why not let it be God's Word? Why not? Take them through the book of Proverbs. If you're a little bit embarrassed, you don't have to say, I made it up. God made it up. This is what God has to say about sex. Very beneficial, I believe. There's a formal time of teaching God's Word, but there's also, and this is very important, spontaneous times. Informal, let's call them. Looking for opportunities throughout the day when you're with your son or daughter to instruct them about God's Word. Jesus Christ was very fond of doing precisely that. He would take things from his environment. They might be walking out on the Mount of Beatitude and they see the flowers, and Jesus told his disciples, man, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Check out these flowers over here. Look how beautiful they are. brilliant, how vibrant the colors. God takes care of the flowers of the field. And you're much more important than the flowers. Don't you think He'll take care of what you're going to wear? Or they're walking along and they see the birds. And He said, hey, consider the birds. How God takes care of them, provides food for them. If God loves them and takes care of these birds flapping around, how much more will He take care of you and love you? Look for ways to instill God's Word in spontaneous ways. Creative ways, dads. Be looking for it. Hold your place right here and turn left to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. I want to go back to a passage that Brother Martin shared with us a few weeks ago. Remind us of the truth there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You get the idea here? Teaching God's Word should be happening all the time. When you rise up. When you lie down. On the doorposts. I mean, everywhere. Now, if you're reading this and you're getting the picture of a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day Bible study, formally, you're wrong. That can't happen. A child would be bored with that, most likely. And besides, you got to sleep. No, it's the idea is spontaneous throughout all the different areas of life, looking for those opportunities to instill wisdom in the heart of a child. Very important, something that fathers should be about. Not only instilling the wisdom of God's Word into their hearts, but dads, just instilling the practical ways of life. You're a trainer. Your children look up to you on just how to live life in general. And you use God's Word to impact that. But let's not get pious. Let's also consider just the daily chores of helping a child learn how to fix things. Helping a child learn how to do chores. Teaching a child the importance of financial responsibility. Folks, dads, can you imagine what it would be like if your dad had told you that debt is horribly wrong? Do everything you can in your life to avoid debt. We can begin teaching things like that to our children today. Practical, wise living. Dads, this is holy territory. God has placed a responsibility on us to raise our children in the ways of the Lord, in wisdom. And we need to be praying about that, and we need to be doing that. It's a joy. There's other things that Solomon is telling his son in here. First of all, he tells dad, we're to be involved in instilling wisdom. But then he also teaches the preeminence of God, if you notice, in this chapter. He's teaching his son that God is priority. He's number one, always. He's our number one priority. That's what he teaches his son, his student. That's fathers, that's what we should be teaching as well. Look, let's look at different aspects of that. Verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. God is number one. He's our number one priority. And because of that, We are to trust in Him with all our heart. We're to acknowledge Him in all our ways, every single way. He's important. He's of highest priority. This is a heavy verse. And this is a verse that most of us have probably heard, and maybe even some of us have memorized. It's challenging for us as adults, isn't it? To trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Because even as we grow older and older, and we may be Christians for a long time, we still struggle with that, don't we? Many times we tend to lean on our own understanding and not trusting in God. So this is a lesson for adults as well. But, moms, dads, have you ever considered teaching the principle of this verse to your child? Taking your little son, your little daughter, sitting them down and saying, hey, come here, read this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. A child growing up knowing those principles, firmly founded in their heart, is such a joy. Such a valuable person. Such a usable person. I believe that we can do that with our children at their level, of course. Even the small ones. Helping them to trust God. Helping them to acknowledge God in all their ways. And so that means a little bit of creativity, moms, dads. Getting down on your knees and teaching them these kinds of things. A child is familiar with sickness. We might ask them to pray for healing. A child gets a new toy. We might say, hey, let's thank Jesus for the toy. Let's thank God for the blessings that He's given us. A teenager may need help on a test in school or is having a hard time in a class. Dads, have you said trust in the Lord? You acknowledged Him in their way? Say, hey, let's pray about it. Let's put this in the hands of the Lord. Let's consider. There are many, many ways to apply this. Getting it when it's young, getting it fresh in their heart, can be so beneficial to them. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God is priority. He's preeminent. And so we need to teach our children to fear Him. To fear God. Now what does the Bible mean when it says fear God? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to be terrified of God. It doesn't mean that we scare our children half to death with God. That we give any indication that God is out to get them. When the Bible speaks of fear of God, it is indicating a deep inner respect for God. A reverence for God. A reverence and a respect for God that makes us not want to displease Him. That keeps our lives in order. Dads, there's a really neat way that you can begin to instill the fear of God within your son or daughter. Just be upfront with them. Let them know. Little Johnny, little Susie, you are never, ever, ever alone. Ever. You are never, ever by yourself. There is a God who sees everything. He sees all things. He knows all things. He's everywhere. Boy, you talk about putting a healthy respect in the heart of your child for God. I think it's important that we do this because parents, we will not always be with our child, will we? There's going to come that day where we give them the keys to the car. Maybe some of you already have. And they're out with their friends. They're at school. They're out by themselves. They need to know that God is with them. And have a deep respect and reverence for God, not to displease Him. See, a child needs to know that when they disobey mom and dad, they're disobeying God. It will keep them from evil. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 9 and 10, Solomon continues. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God is priority. God is preeminent. And because of that, child, we give to Him. We give of our time, our talents, our resources to God. We give of our best to God. And that's what God commanded the nation of Israel to do. When they would have crops and they would have a great harvest, they were supposed to collect the first fruits of all their crops, the first ones, and give them to the Lord. God is our priority means that we are willing to sacrifice. We're willing to give of what He has given to us back to Him. And you know, there's ways to teach children that, dads. To begin teaching them that at an early age. Perhaps coming to church is a way to teach them that. Have you ever explained to your child why we go to church? Because we honor the Lord. And we take time out of our lives. Best times, a day off from work, a day off from school, and we gather together and we worship the Lord. We're honoring Him with our wealth, with our time, with our resources. Beginning to instruct that and get that into the heart of a child. There are other creative ways that we can teach this, dads. One of the best ways I heard is what Kim and I went to a marriage class before we got married. And the issue of parenting came up. And just one of the neatest ideas I've ever heard in helping a child understand giving to the Lord. What they did, this couple, is they had each child in their family sponsoring another child on the other side of the world. There's many ministries that allow you to do this, compassion ministries, where each child befriends, adopts, takes care of another child on the other side of the world. And that child spends time writing letters to them, sending money to them. What a neat way to teach how a child is to give of their life, their time, their service, their resources to the Lord. Dads, you can have a great impact in coming up with creative ways to do that. He goes on, verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. God is priority. God is preeminent. He's number one. And because of that, son or daughter, He is able to correct you. You should allow Him to correct you. You should be flexible, open to what God wants to do with your life. Very practical ways, dads, of teaching that. I want to say that for your child, God primarily uses parents to discipline and to correct children. And I want to be very clear today, in a day of widespread confusion. Dads, if you love your children, you will discipline them. Period. You will spank them. You will correct them. There are people out there today, doctors and stuff, telling us that spanking and discipline is not reasonable and that really what we need to do is reason with your child. Reason with a three-year-old. Have a discussion with them. Look, Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. How many of you have met spoiled people? I have. They haven't been disciplined. Their father didn't love them. You are God's main way of disciplining this child. There's great wealth there's great value to that. Solomon has taught us the importance that dads are to instill wisdom. He's taught us that dads are to teach the preeminence of God. But look, he also teaches that dads are supposed to teach their sons and daughters to treat others properly. Skip down now to verse 27. Verse 27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you." Very simple truths. Lessons that we need to teach. Hey, child, treat others fairly. Share of your resources with others. There is a word that comes very natural to every child, and it hasn't happened to Kim and I yet because Lindsay can't speak, but I'm sure it's coming soon. It's that word that goes like this: mine, mine, mine. Now, we might think that's a little bit cute when we first hear it, but could you imagine if that would continue through their life? So at the age of 15, you have a son that's walking around going, mine. Or they get into their earlier 20s, 25s, 30, 35, and they still have that attitude, mine. It's all mine. That happens to people. There are grown adults that are selfish, consumed with mine. We need to instruct our children. This fly is really bugging me. We need to instruct our children to share their resources. To change that word mine into ours. This belongs to us. We want to share. Teaching a child to share all their resources. Dads, you should be about doing that. Proper treatment of others. We're to teach children to do good to others. Verse 29 says, "Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake." Children, do good to people. Respect people. Do not devise evil. In other words, do not invent ways to mess with people. Do good to them. And I think we need to teach children to do good to their peers and to authority, to all people that they might have in their lives. Respecting authority, and then respecting their peers, respecting those who are younger, respecting everybody's possessions. In other words, dads, teach your child that he or she is not the only person on planet Earth. Guess what? We live in a great big world and there's lots of people. And we need to teach our children to be courteous, to consider others, to respect others, to be blessings. Have your child be a blessing. Teach them in the ways of the Lord. I will never forget, 5 years ago, we had a Thanksgiving gathering at my parents' house. And there was a child, there was a family that came, and a child that was invited who single-handedly ruined Thanksgiving for everyone that came. He was out of control, this kid. He was running around bugging people. The highlight of his day was, believe it or not, he relieved himself in a corner of my parents' master bedroom. Mommy and Daddy found out about it and said, "Okay, timeout center for you, 10 minutes, timeout center." Come on! Can you believe it? That's not a blessing. That's a nightmare. Moms, dads, we want to train our children up in the way of the Lord. We want them to be blessings. not nightmares. Jesus told us we're the light of the world. We are lights, and that we need to hold our lights up, you know, just like the lights you could see on the highest hills in the night around the Sea of Galilee. Moms and dads, we're raising little light bulbs. Little guys, little girls. Some have grown up and they're in their teenagers now. Lights, blessings, teaching them to do good, respecting. Verse 30, it says, "Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm." Teaching our children to get along with others, Dad. Not to strive with people. Did you know that that is a skill that needs to be taught? Teaching people how to get along with others. Think about your biggest problems at work, guys, dads. Are the problems at work that you face always mostly technical or administrative or, you know, getting the product? Your problems are political. People getting along with one another. People fighting with one another. People getting hurt. So sensitive. People disagreeing and not talking. Boy, those are the problems. People need to learn how to get along with all kinds of folks. Not to strive with men. And we can begin instructing our children in that. Hey, look, you need to be patient with this person over here. Teaching them different ways to deal with different people of different personalities. If you can raise a child who gets along with other people, man, you are ahead. That child is ahead. Because those are the people that are blessings to their business and to everything that they are involved in. Lots of lessons for dads to teach. Lessons from dad. Let's briefly look at the benefits of these lessons for the children. I just want to go through and take a quick perusal of all the benefits to a child if this is going on. Very quickly. Verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace will be added to you." A long life. Peaceful life. For those that learn these lessons from dad. Verse 4, "And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Dads, if we're instilling these lessons within our child, these children will grow and they will find favor and esteem in the sight of God and man. People will want to be around them. People, they'll be valuable. They'll be of esteem. Verse 6. "In your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." God will direct the path of your child. The word in Hebrew, direct, can also mean smooth out, make smoother, remove obstacles for your child, giving them a smoother life. Not making some of those mistakes that we've made, warning them of it. Verse 8. "It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Physical health. That if children are behaving wisely, they're going to stay stronger. They're going to know the importance of things like eating well, exercising. Verse 10, "So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Verse 16, "Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor." They will be provided for. They will have the wisdom that it takes to have abundant resources. God will bless them. Verse 17 and 18, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Happiness, pleasantness, a less problematic life. Verse 23. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. A safe life. You ever worry about your child? Oh, I hope they're safe. They can be safe as you're instructing them in this wisdom. A confidence. Verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. What a beautiful thing to instill. What a beautiful benefit of teaching these things to our children. They will not be afraid. They will have that special confidence that comes from knowing Jesus Christ themselves, seeing His hand have worked in their past, working in their present, and will work in their future. Having a confidence, those are benefits. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the habitants of the just. Surely He scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Instructing a child in these ways will bring blessing to this child. Glory to this child. Now, kids, children, which of you doesn't want these things? Parents, which of your children does not want blessing, riches, a long life of peace, happiness, contentment? I would say they all want it. And we need to be about teaching our children so that they can have that kind of shot, instilling within them the way to live. There's benefits to our children. Did you know there's also benefits for you, Dad? There's benefits. I know that there are a few in this congregation that sons and daughters are growing up and they're leaving home. And we may be fearful. But let me tell you, there's a rich contentment that comes with seeing the blessed son or daughter raise up, bearing fruit for the Lord, strong in the Lord, secure in the Lord, being a light for Him. What a contentment. Isn't that what you want, Dad? See your son or daughter grow up to be a strong man or woman of God. There's another benefit, Dad, and that is that you will not have problematic sons or daughters. You will have instructed them well. You will have taught them well. The book of Proverbs in 17, verse 21 says, "He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow. And the father of a fool has no joy." Proverbs 17:25 said, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him." There's benefits to you, Dad, for being actively involved, and that is you will raise children that won't be bitter, that won't be a problem to you. They'll be responsible, they'll be mature, they'll be confident in the Lord. It's a blessing to behold. Now, having said that, there is personal responsibility in the life of a child, especially when they get over 18 and they're out on their own. I do know very good Christian families who have had problems with sons and daughters, not to their fault. It became the personal choice of that son or daughter. And those can be tough. But you keep praying for them. The Lord will bring them back. Train up a child in the ways of the Lord, and He will not depart from them. He'll come back. Keep praying for him. Let's wrap this up. Dads, your first ministry is your family. God is our priority, our wives are our second priority, and then our children follow. It's that order. God, wife, children. That is our primary ministry, dads. Now, I know many of us want to be used by the Lord. We want to be used in acts of service and ministry. And it's important that we find our place within the body of Christ, but never lose sight of the fact that our first ministry is our family. And that we have been called by God to serve them, to love them, to teach them. Dads, this can be hard, you might think. Look, I work hard, Terry. Man, I'm putting in 50, 60-hour weeks just to make ends meet. You know, that's true. Dads, you should be commended. One of your responsibilities in Scripture is to provide for your family. And to work hard is admirable. And wives, we should support our husbands in that. However, dads, find that balance. Find that time where you're teaching your children spontaneously, formally, instilling wisdom within them. They look to us. Our children look to us. They want to know that things are possible. I heard of a teacher who asked her class what each wanted to become when they grew up. President, a fireman, a teacher. One by one they answered until it came Billy's turn. The teacher asked Billy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "Possible." "What? Possible?" "Yes," Billy said. "My mom is always telling me I'm impossible. When I grow up, I want to be possible." Moms, dads, you have a bundle of potentiality living within your roof. God wants to use you to touch their hearts, to train them up in the ways of wisdom. We have a tough job. We have a big responsibility, dads. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" A child's view of God may begin with the view of their father. So we need to represent God to our children to show them that all things are possible with God. There may be those this morning who have failed as a father. There's hope for you, and there's hope for your children. Start now being that godly father. Start now. Be a source of godliness to your family. There are some of you here that are missing fathers. And Father's Day is a little sad for them. As I prayed this morning, God has said that He is a help to the fatherless. That He will not leave you orphans. He's our Heavenly Father. He cares for us. Abba, Daddy. Let's close and let's have all the dads stand. Dads, we want to pray for you. God has called you to do a great work, a great ministry, an important one. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joy and privilege that we have in being fathers. Lord, we humble ourselves under that responsibility this morning. Oh God, teach us how to teach our children about you. How to instill your wisdom into their little hearts.